Hello, my name is Santi, and welcome to the Jet Setting Family Travel Podcast. Today is going to be all about me. Just kidding. My daddy's also going to be in it too.
Hey everyone, my name is Rod, and I noticed that it's been a really long time since we had Santi on the podcast.
Yeah, it's been since forever.
Do you remember your last podcast episode?
Yeah, I was telling fun facts.
About?
I kind of forgot, but all I know is that I was telling fun facts.
Yeah, those were really fun facts. Do you have any fun facts to tell us today?
I'll try to think of some. Okay. I just need a little moment. It's hard to think of some.
I think we'll save the fun facts for another episode. Yeah. Because today, it kind of is about Santi in a way, because we wanted to talk about travel days. Travel days are some of the most difficult days to not only plan, but just get through when you're traveling, whether it's alone, as a couple, or as a family. And with kids, that adds on an additional layer of complexity that you have to manage. So I wanted to start here with Santi and ask you, what do you think of travel days?
Fun. Sometimes exhausting, but still fun.
Yeah, why are they fun?
Because I get to experience new things I've never experienced before, so it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it is really fun, huh?
But the way that it's tiring is that if we go on a hike, it's just really long and it makes me exhausted.
Yeah, do we go on hikes on travel days?
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Sometimes we got to run across the airport, don't we?
Yeah, I remember running across like 50 gates or something like that.
One of our travel day stories is we arrived late to Denver and we had to take a flight from Denver to Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
Which isn't a long flight in and of itself. So if we had missed that flight, it wouldn't have been the biggest deal. But it was the last flight of the night and we had 10 minutes from when we got out of the flight that got into Denver to when the gates were closing for the flight that was leaving to Colorado Springs.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. We landed in gate B14 and we had to get to gate B78.
We had to run so fast that I was too tired that I had to stop running and walk fastly. And when my mom got there, they were actually selling the seats to someone else. But luckily, we made it right on time.
Yeah. It was so crazy.
Yeah, that when I was in my seat, I was actually coughing because I ran too far.
Yeah.
It was too exhausting.
Yep. So travel days, they can be the best days because you're getting to new and exciting destinations. But they can also be the worst days. And what do we say about a bad day, Santi?
They can also make good stories tell to other friends.
Yep. We've been listening to this song. It's called 100 Bad Days by AJR.
100 good stories.
Yeah. So it goes like this. 100 bad days make 100 good stories. 100 good stories
make me interested in parties.
That's right. Yeah. But today, 100 good stories make us interesting at podcasts. Okay.
Yeah. So basically for some people, it can be interesting for they might want to do parties, but for some people, they might want to do podcasts like us because we want to share other things to other people, right? Mm-hmm.
That's what the podcast is for, right? We want to help others travel more together.
Yeah, and share other tips and tricks.
Okay, so what other tips and tricks do you have for a travel day, Santi?
That sometimes you could also get a little surprise like candy or something. To keep your kids happy. So that kind of works with us.
Yeah. What are your favorite candies that you get on travel days?
Kind of like ice cream sandwiches. I haven't had an ice cream sandwich in a while, but I still know that I like them.
What else can you tell me about tips and tricks for making it through travel days?
I need to think of some real quick.
Okay.
Maybe sometimes give them let them take a break to restore energy so you can keep on going.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to take breaks in between, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of that goes down to planning and making sure that you arrive at places in the right time so that you don't have to rush through things and you don't have to rush the kids through things, right?
Yeah, and also try to stop from time to time to when there's kids nearby so they can make new friends and play with them on the way.
Okay, that's a good idea.
So they don't get bored.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
That's all the tips and tricks that I have. So now it's my mom's turn to be on the podcast.
Thanks for joining us today, Santi. We are excited to keep you on following episodes. And then maybe in a couple episodes later, you can tell us some tips and tricks for traveling in Costa Rica.
Okay, sounds good.
So I hope you enjoyed that little segment with Santi. We hope to include him on future episodes. I know he is a fan favorite. But now I am joined by the amazing Jessica Sanchez to continue our discussion on travel days.
I'm not as exciting as Santi, guys, but I'm really happy to be here. It'd been a long time since he'd been on, and he had been asking. He's definitely at a fun age. It's something he like super interests him right now. So you will definitely be hearing more from little Santi.
Yep.
We're hoping Nora, who's improved her speech so much this year, can start chiming in too.
That would be definitely fun. So the way that we wanted to structure this discussion is talking about travel days and our strategies and recommendations for how to make your travel day as smooth as it can be. So we have kind of three different parts of the process. That's kind of before the actual travel, during it, and then afterward. I looked at the numbers, and since we started all for our full-time travels, we've had 81 different travel days, and that's either airplanes, buses, boats, car trips. And I think for the majority of this episode, we're going to be focusing more on the flights themselves, since those can be the longer ones and those are the ones we get the most questions about. So you'll be seeing a lot of or hearing a lot of information about travel days related to flights.
So for us, obviously, after 81 flights, we have a pretty good system down. My recommendations for like before you actually get on this flight would be figure out who's in charge of what. Like for our family, we have very clear, I guess, expectations from each other. I lose everything, therefore I'm not in charge of any passports. We would have been home a long time ago. So Rod's in charge of passports, but I do always remember to do a passport check before we leave, or like at least an ID check if you're not traveling outside of the United States. Yep. To know we have everyone's passport and that there aren't going to be any issues. I also know we travel now with three luggages because we just can't seem to get back down to two. Right. But Rod is in charge of pulling two of them. I'm in charge of pulling one of them, and I handle the kids. For us and our family, we found it easiest if one person is manning that counter while the other one's kind of off to the side with the children. A lot of times they will have to see the kids for identification purposes. So like we're never too far away. We're like not in the line, but close enough that if the person needs us, we can see Rod. But I typically stay with the kids so that they're just not having to deal with that process while Rod checks us in for the flight.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what Jess is talking about is kind of conceptualizing what that day is going to look like for you. Kind of run it through your head at the little details, because understanding what you would do in the little details would kind of relieve the burden of you having to figure it out on the spot. So if you come prepared and you know, okay, I've got three bags, here's how I'm going to carry those three bags. At this point, when I check them in, then I no longer have that burden. And then I, you know, have additional hands to carry different things, or now we can each, you know, hold one of our kids after we've checked in our bags. Those little decisions that you make beforehand, you are saving yourself a lot of hassle in the future,
arguments
during that travel day, and arguments
you're
when you're trying to figure
arguments
it out. And somebody is, you know, talking to you at the check-in counter and you don't have it figured out yet. So just make sure that you're running that whole process through so that you can minimize any discomfort before that actual travel experience. Don't forget those passports. Don't forget your tickets. Make sure that you've booked the flights for the right date. I know that we have had some issues with that before when flights are right after midnight, trying to understand, yes, we are going to be flying the next day, but a lot of that preparation and check-in happens during the previous day. So just make sure that you are double-checking, triple-checking all of those critical documents that can completely derail your travel day if you don't have them.
So definitely conceptualize, make a plan with your spouse or partner or whoever it is that you're traveling with. To go back to the very beginning, actually, we have found it easiest. Something you might want to consider is if Rod pulls up to the airport, drops me and the children and all of our belongings off at the airport prior to, well, previously it was parking. Now it's returning a rental car. But it's easier for me to stay with the belongings and with the kids and not have to lug our whole family through that process. So that's something that we have learned works better for our family. Everyone's different. But so like Rod said, actually talk about it and make a plan before day of. For us, after 81 travel days, like everyone just knows their roles in our family. Mm-hmm. So it's really fluid, really easy. There's no thought. But like our first month traveling, there were arguments day of. Like, I thought you were doing this, and just miscommunications.
Yeah, here's the way that our kind of energy levels flow through a travel day. Right before we check in for a flight, I am an anxious wreck because I just want to make sure that we have everything, that we're there on time, that the lines aren't too long, so that, you know, we actually make our flight.
Wants to get there way earlier than we need to be.
Not necessarily way earlier. I just don't want to be hustling and rushing and worrying about missing a flight. And to date, we have not missed a flight. Knock on wood right now that will continue on in the future. But I think I chalk that up to just being prepared and being a little bit anxious, which drives me at the beginning. The way that the energy shifts is once we check in, I am chill. I am relaxed. I could care less if the flight takes 3 hours longer to get to our destination, because I know at that point, okay, it's no longer on me. I need to leave it to the airline to get us there. Jess, on the other hand, she is starting to get a little bit more antsy because, you know, completely normal feeling. You want to be there already.
No, I'm really chill. Like, I'm so chill before going to the airport. I drive Rod crazy because I'm like, well, you know, I'm a risk taker. We don't need to be there that early. I'm chill throughout the airport. I'm chill on the plane. And it's like, for me, it's like once you land and you still have to get your luggage and do all that part.
Immigration and customs.
The kids are ready to be running around at that point. I'm just done. And so Rod like has to like step up and be happy so that I can push through.
Right.
But
during the flight is our kind of
chill zone.
Chill zone for all of us. The kids started off.
Before we get to the flight. If you plan to travel, I would even say more than 3 times in a year, invest in Global Entry, guys. I can't stress this enough. Global Entry is the best investment we have made for travel days because with our Global Entry, not only do we get to skip immigration and customs like when traveling outside of the US, but you also always get TSA PreCheck. And sometimes those lines are really long. A lot of countries are very, very nice and will allow you to not wait in line if you have children. The US is not so kind, and if you have children, they don't care. Therefore, If you want to skip the line, get a Global Entry card because you will get TSA PreCheck. You can then keep your laptops and your shoes on, and you don't have to take anything out of your bag. And it makes it just super easy with kids, especially. I just think not having to pull everything out, not having to wait in line, it just expedites that process exponentially. And then there's also something to check, like even if you check your credit cards, I know our credit card company reimbursed us for 2 of our Global Entry passes.
Yeah.
So it might even be a free thing. You have to go get an interview. It took us like 5 minutes each. I don't really know what they learned at the interview, but it got us Global Entry cards.
Obviously, they made that judgment that we are not dangerous.
We look trustworthy. Yeah. Besides that, though, I don't know. Maybe they ran background checks before we showed up for the appointment. The interview, I don't really know. But it was well worth it. It's been a huge investment for us, something I would not want to travel without.
Yeah, definitely recommend that. And granted, we haven't flown within the US a lot, but we notice that when we do fly within the US or we are returning to the US and we get that expedited entry, that it's so worth it.
So now that you have a plan to get checked in and get through customs, or not customs, sorry, and get through your TSA PreCheck, now what do we do?
Now it's all about the kids. It is all about keeping them happy. No matter if you have a short flight or a long flight, you need to be prepared. So what do we take to make sure that our kids aren't crazy, rambunctious children on airplanes that are stressing everybody out?
We let them run. Some airports are really good and have playgrounds. We try to find the playground. But the highlight for our kids during this period is snacks. We always find like a little store, and it is more expensive, but it's part of our routine and it works for us. And they can pick snacks. My preference for snacks is like snacks that will take a while to eat. So pretzels, yeah. Goldfish, fruit snacks, something that there's a ton of
small
them in a bag.
Small things that are a lot, not just like one candy bar that they'll devour in 1 minute.
But they know that they can pick snacks and that they can pick one drink for their flight. And it's like always what we do. And it really gets them excited to get on the plane because they can't wait for that snack that they have. We also let them like just run around and be kids to try to get their energy out. We do not allow them typically, unless it's a super, super long wait, to have technology until they're sitting on the plane.
And the plane has actually departed. That way, if there's any delays, then, you know, we save battery time and we keep them excited about actually using it.
Something to note. I'm not saying that you should do this with your children. Actually, we don't anymore. But I will say on our first huge long flight, we would give our children melatonin. We only did it like twice, maybe?
No, we only did it once.
It was from Hawaii to Manila.
It was from Hawaii to the Philippines. And that was our first long flight. I think it was 10 hours long.
And we were nervous. We were terrified, guys. And it's funny because now I'm never nervous to fly with the kids. But at that flight, I was like, what if they're just little heathens?
Right. And they ended up being completely fine. They fell asleep. They slept through the whole flight. We don't sleep as comfortably as they do, but they woke up ready to go and ready to start their day in a new location.
If you are a family, there is no judgment who gives your child Benadryl or melatonin or whatever before they sleep. Do not do it until you're in the air, because we have had some flights where we get on and then we sit for 3 hours and then at, you know, at a red eye. Yeah, it's midnight.
Gets canceled.
It's midnight. And even for us, who did not give our children anything, we got on a flight at midnight. Our kids fall asleep at 3 a.m. They're like, just kidding. We're not taking off. Get off the plane. And even with kids who had no melatonin or Benadryl, it was really hard for us to like carry them, and they were exhausted. And so like, don't do anything like that, I would say, until you are up in the air and know that you are actually leaving, because it will be way harder to get off if your child is extremely tired.
And another key for long flights is to bring your own headphones for your kids. A lot of the planes now will have personal screens for every seat, and that comes with all the movies and all the kid movies that they can watch in addition to whatever they have on their tablet if you bring one for them. But the earbuds that you get at the plane itself, a lot of the times they're not going to fit the kids, and they don't have specific child-friendly ones. So just make sure that you're bringing one. Just be careful if you have those that have that limited volume selector for kids. A lot of the times the max volume on that is still not quite high enough to overcome like the noise of the engines and the plane itself. So you might want to get them like regular headphones that you can get probably really cheap on Amazon, and it'll allow them to hear everything that they see on the screen.
We have some tips for flying with kids as well. Is we notice that when our kids sit next to each other, a lot of the time they fight. So either Rod takes a kid in one row, I take the kid on the other side of the aisle, or if we have three seats together, one of us sits in between our children, because that prevents them from arguing. It keeps them both happy, and it works the best for us. If your kids get along better than ours during flying or driving, rock on. Ours would drive each other nuts.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do is to try to not necessarily game the system, but get creative with your seat picks. As family travelers, a lot of the times, if you don't want to pay for a seat, you can just leave it up to chance. We've never done that. We always just end up picking seats. That way we can be seated together. And yes, it might cost, you know, $20 to $30, but for us, that's worth it, just knowing that we know where we're sitting. And a lot of the times we also book gaps in between where we leave middle seats empty. So we, if it's a regular, you know, plane with three seats on one side and three on the other, we book one row with both of the windows and both of the aisles, and we leave the middle seats open. That way, if the middle seats don't end up getting booked, then we automatically have that extra space already, which is a huge victory. And if it is booked, then it's easy to tell somebody in the middle seat, hey, do you want to take either this window or this aisle seat, that way everybody could be sitting together.
Yeah, so it's a good tip if you want to try to get the whole row to yourself. It sometimes pans out, but I'd still say flights are crowded lately.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Other cool things is if you haven't traveled often, when you're getting on, if you see the stewardess at the front, if she's peppy, smiley, and happy and seems approachable, ask if your kids can go to the cockpit. A lot of times they will let your kids go to the cockpit, talk to the pilot, see what it's like. Sometimes they give them the cute little wings from back in the day. So that's something that our kids enjoy. We don't do it every flight. It kind of depends on the vibe I'm feeling, friendliness. But something that can be really cool, especially if you don't fly often and your kid's really excited, it can really just set them in a happy tone for that flight.
Yeah, and another thing that we do is in terms of their tablets, we try to get them maybe one or two new apps for the long flights. That way they have something new that will keep entertaining them. So if you've noticed the trend of these long flights, it's basically you want to have activities and things that occupy their time. So whether that's a tablet, whether that's a headphone so they can watch a movie in flight, if you want to bring some coloring books and crayons that they can keep coloring, or little, you know, travel-sized puzzles, travel-sized board games. Those are good ways to pass the time up until they get tired. And one thing that we do is we give them a set time. If it is going to be an overnight flight, okay, in 10 minutes, you have to be going to bed. And then we give them 5-minute warnings, 1-minute warnings. That way they're kind of prepared and they start getting themselves ready for that time where they know that they have to fall asleep on the plane.
Also note, if you have a young one like Nora who still uses nighttime diapers but is potty trained during the day, if you're doing a really long haul flight, I recommend you board them with the diaper on. I'd encourage them still to use the potty, but sometimes on those long flights, your kid will fall asleep for 7 hours and you just don't want to have an accident on the plane. So if you anticipate your kid sleeping, and if they would use a nighttime diaper at home anyway, put them in a diaper. We've messed up a couple times since she's potty trained and completely forgot to pack that extra diaper. And then the whole flight, I'm paranoid I'm going to get peed on. It's not a very pleasant experience. So if you just have that borderline age, pack some extra diapers and put it on them when you board.
Yep. And ultimately, you're going to get there. You're going to get there. It's going to be fine. You might have some mishaps along the way, but as we said at the beginning of the episode, those bad days can end up being some pretty hilarious stories at the end.
Yes, definitely. Our kids love travel days now, I think just because they're so used to them and they know that they get way more tablet than they ever would. So they look forward to it. So if you have a kid who uses the tablet a lot at home, another recommendation I have is kind of cut back and take it away from them almost for, you know, 4 or 5 days prior to that flight. So that it's like something they really are looking forward to. Yep. So now that you've hopefully had a pleasant flight, but either way you've landed, you've made it, screaming or not.
Yep. If you're in a new country, be prepared for chaos. Chaos of immigration and customs.
Yes.
Most of the places that we arrived to, especially in Cancun, Mexico, it was crazy. There are lines everywhere. People are already stressed. People are impatient because they just want to get in.
Worst airport in the world for immigration.
Right. And one big tip for that is if you have kids, try to see if they have a family line. A lot of the times, if you just ask somebody that's working there, they will direct you straight to it, or you won't even need to say something. They'll just spot you right away and they'll lead you to a different line. And that line will be way, way, way shorter than the typical line that you would have to go through otherwise.
Yes. And definitely, especially if even if your flight or something, heaven forbid, gets canceled, and you don't see, especially if you don't see a lot of other kids on the plane, go up to a flight attendant right away and be like, hey, I noticed there's not a lot of kids on the plane. Is there any way you can put us at the front of the line? My kids are already exhausted and we'd like to just get them to a hotel to go to bed immediately. And we've had really very kind people and success with that, because sometimes people wait 4 hours in lines to get rebooked, rescheduled, or whatever. And if you do have kids, use that to your advantage. It's not like I'm trying to beat the system, but I mean, it's just harder for families with kids. So always advocate for yourself.
Yeah, most people will understand. And the ones that don't understand, then that's their problem.
<You know? laughs> Traveling with kids is hard.
Yeah.
But once you get there, immigration and customs, make sure, 100% sure, that those snacks that you packed from whatever country you were leaving, you have either completely eaten or you leave them on the plane, especially if it's a fruit. It's twice now I have absolutely forgotten and left an apple in my backpack. And that has sent us, we went through immigration and then we got stopped at customs and then they had to search our bags
and go through
these dog things. And it's just an agricultural point. And it adds another 30 minutes to this process. And it's just a really big pain for a single apple. I understand why they do it. They want to make sure they're not getting new flies or bacteria or whatever in their countries. But if you find it, just leave it on the plane or hand it to a flight attendant and say, I completely forgot I had this. I don't want to take it through customs, and they will throw it away. Try not to get off the plane, though, with any type of food or agricultural product.
Yeah, there will usually be snack shops that you can get new snacks at if anybody in the family is hungry. In terms of paying for things, if you don't have a plan already, there's usually ATMs there where you can withdraw money. There'll probably be currency exchange services as well. So just understand if you're planning on exchanging money or withdrawing it, check beforehand if those are available at the airport where you'll be arriving. In terms of transportation, also know what your options are and go according to your plan. Hopefully you've already scheduled either there's a shuttle that's going to pick you up and take you to your hotel, or you have a rental car. Understand if the rental car has a shuttle that has to take you offsite or not, or if there's Uber availability or some other rideshare apps that you can take with you.
Something important to note about both Uber and Airbnb is that while Uber and Airbnb can be available in some countries, it's sometimes very frowned upon, and you could get yourself into some awkward situations mm-hmm. if you choose to use them. So I would suggest when you're booking a place to a new country, don't just say, hey, is there Uber there? I would Google,
how is Uber treated and accepted in the country if it is available?
Yes, because for instance, in Bali, you can grab an Uber, but there's a lot of violence between, I wouldn't say violence, Bali is a pretty peaceful country. There's a lot of tension between the taxi drivers and the Ubers in Bali. The taxi drivers do not want Uber to be there, so you can end up in awkward predicaments. I believe it was in Malaysia, where Airbnbs aren't legally permitted. So that can lead to some awkward encounters in the lobby.
Where you're basically getting snuck in to an apartment.
Someone like gave us a hug and asked us that we were family members. They told Rod that his name was, oh, I forget.
Some really bizarre name that we had never heard before. So Gigi.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's like a name from another country, but that's probably not bizarre in their country, but Rod was like, my name's what? And he's like, this is your new name while here. So I don't know. We didn't do that in prior trips. We have learned our lessons. So just look if Airbnb is legal, if Uber, what the Uber taxi relationship is, and kind of just be aware that it's not the same worldwide. But that's pretty much it.
That's what we've got for our tips on travel days. We hope that you have enjoyed these. If you want to have more tips and recommendations from us, we actually recently posted a 100 things that we've learned from over a year of full-time travel on our blog. You can go check that out at www.thejetsettingfamily.com/lessons. And you will have 6,000 plus words. It is quite the read. It's pretty much a big brain dump from both of us of everything that we've learned about travel planning, about finding accommodations, about travel days themselves, some parenting things along the way, as well as advice for those that are looking to go into full-time travel. So if you're curious about any of that, go check out that blog post.
Yeah, as always, feel free to email us questions. Say hello on Instagram. I love when people comment and are like, hey, I listened to your podcast, because then I can put like a face behind this microphone. So. Yep.
You can find us there at the Jet Setting Family. You can reach us on email at hello@thejetsettingfamily.com.
But until our next episode,
happy jet setting.
The Podglomerate, a sonic universe.